Thanks, Matt. The Baltimore Museum of Art has a new director. On Monday night, the board of the BMA announced that Christopher Bedford will take the reins of the internationally acclaimed museum, which celebrated its 100th anniversary 2 years ago. Mr. Bedford is currently the director of the Rose Art Museum at Brandeis University outside of Boston. On August 1st, he will become the 10th director of the BMA, succeeding Doreen Bolger, who retired last year. Christopher Bedford joins me this morning on the phone from New York. Chris Bedford, welcome to the show.
Hi, it's very nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
And congratulations on your appointment. You're up there at Brandeis, outside of Boston. This job at the BMA comes open. What was attractive about the BMA to you?
Well, I'll answer that in the most obvious terms. I think the collection is internationally acclaimed, astonishing in its areas of specialization and its depth and breadth, too. I think from a personal perspective, I was very drawn to the fact that the institution has been collecting contemporary art since its inception. Its modern collection, rooted in the Cone collection, is astonishing. The African collection, both its presentation and the objects that compose that collection, is among the best in the country. I could go on and on. The European painting and sculpture is an extremely strong collection. So I was looking for an encyclopedic context in a city that felt fertile and hungry for a different kind of civic engagement through a museum's work. And I think I found all of those things and more in Baltimore.
And what kind of different civic engagement can we expect under your tenure? I mean, this has obviously been a very traumatic year, frankly, for the city of Baltimore. We had tremendous violence just a year ago. How do you think a museum like the BMA can engage and connect with a community like ours?
Yeah. Well, I, being a relative outsider to the context at this point, I don't pretend to understand the nature of the city, its struggles over the past year, but I hope to acclimate myself quickly and begin to understand that condition so that I can orient the museum in a productive way. In the most general terms, I'll say that I believe museums are places for discourse, for discussion, difficult discussion, easy discussion. It's a place for people to be social, for them to heal, for people to spend time together to linger. I think one of the old adages says that art's most fundamental utility is the fact that it's effectively useless. And in its uselessness, it causes people to linger and to talk and to begin to reflect on things of real social import. So I would imagine trying to make the museum a meeting point and use art as a side door to difficult discussion. And we've done a lot of that work at the Rose, too. Brandeis is a university that's deeply, deeply committed historically to social justice as an agenda and to introducing difficult discussions in controlled civic context. So I look forward to bringing some of those ethics to the BMA as well.
You came to the Rose Museum just a year or so after a very controversial lawsuit was settled in which it had been proposed to actually sell the collection of the museum and close it. What do you think the university and the museum learned about that or learned through that experience? What did you learn personally? And do you think that there are things being in a university situation, as you were at Brandeis and before that for a time at Ohio State, that can help direct your thinking when you come to a museum like the BMA that's not affiliated with an academic institution?
Well, I mean, it's interesting. You're clearly thinking along exactly the same lines as me. So to address the first question, I think the Rose controversy was a rallying call for the museum world globally. It made the institution a case study in cultural protection, and the university eventually made exactly the right choice under the stewardship of former President Fred Lawrence. And so the situation was resolved, in fact, before I arrived at the museum, but I think it created an acute sense of value on the campus and beyond. So what was understood during a temporary period as an asset, a liquid one, was then understood as an indispensable core asset. And I think that's rooted in the idea that universities are in the business of changing the arc of people's lives. They're in the business of producing new knowledge through different media, one expression of that being through and with art. So I imagine trying to be as ambitious in Baltimore about the role of art in people's lives as the collection that the Rose became in the lives of people on campus and beyond. So, I do believe that an academic context is helpful in creating meaning in that way. So, I think you can anticipate further conversations between the BMA and academic institutions in and around Baltimore who could become partners and collaborators in our program, in our programming going forward.
Christopher Bedford joins me here on 88.1 Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. He's about to become the new director of the Baltimore Museum of Art. There are a bunch of folks over the last, I don't know, number of decades even, who have made the case that the fine arts in general are less and less relevant, less and less connected to people's actual lives. And this includes not just the museum world, but classical music and ballet and other of the so-called fine arts. What is it going to take? Do you subscribe to the notion that the fine arts have, you know, are playing now a lesser role in people's day-to-day lives than they used to 50 years ago or 100 years ago? And if so, how do you turn that around?
Well, I would say that being a museum director and having committed my life and intellectual life to the pursuit of fine arts, I'm not best positioned to agree with that position. And what I hope to be able to do at the BMA is demonstrate that the most profound artistic creations over time have always been socially embedded and very popular in their interests. So when I say that, I'm referring both to artists who've redefined the 20th and 21st century, like Andy Warhol on one hand, or going way back into the Italian Renaissance and Michelangelo. So Michelangelo's David, for instance, occupied a city in Italy in such a way that people understood its structure, its meaning, its symbolism, and it was deeply embedded in their lives. It was a social work of art, and a place for collective understanding. And I would say in the case of somebody like Andy Warhol, he's so significant because not only did he change the course of art history, I think you can say that there was an art history before Warhol and there was an art history after Warhol and they were different. I think what makes him most significant, and in my view the most significant practitioner of the 20th century, is that he also changed our view of popular culture. He changed the visuality of popular culture. So certain motifs, certain forms of advertising are unimaginable without Andy Warhol's inventions. So I think what I'm interested in doing is connecting radical invention in the fine arts to people's day-to-day lives to establish exactly the relevance that you're talking about.
Christopher Bedford, on Monday it was announced that in August he will become the 10th director of the Baltimore Museum of Art, succeeding Doreen Bulger. Chris Bedford, I look forward to meeting you in person when you're here in Baltimore, and congratulations again. Thanks for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
There's plenty going on at the BMA between now and then. The BMA's current exhibition is called New Arrivals, Gifts of Art for a New Century. It features some of the museum's recent acquisitions juxtaposed with art that is already in the BMA's extensive collection. You've got just a few more days to check it out. It closes on Sunday. We've got information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. That does it for us today. Coming up Friday, an extended edition of the Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem. The Maryland Film Festival gets underway tonight. On Friday morning, Festival Director Jed Dietz joins us along with Washington Post film critic Anne Hornaday and some of the filmmakers whose work is being screened this weekend. We'll help you figure out which movies you'll want to catch at the Maryland Film Festival Friday morning on Maryland Morning. Until then, thanks for joining us. Garrison Keillor is up next with the Writer's Almanac. I'm Tom Hall. Have a great day.